Hey everyone, we're here with Trainer Road's Jonathan Lee. Just finished stage one of single track six. John, how you feeling?
Awesome. It was so much fun. Like technical, real mountain biking, and I had a plan and I executed it. So yeah, I'm like on cloud nine. Feel good.
Aw, FOMO.
Sorry, Ivy.
It's okay. No, it's all right. It's good to hear that it is actually like technically demanding. I just feel like with the scope of my injuries, I would have put myself in a dangerous situation potentially. So
for sure.
It's the right call, but I miss y'all. Yeah. Tell us about the stage. What was the terrain like? Like, how did you pace it?
Yeah. So, the stage was 22 miles and we climbed 4,000 feet in 22 miles. It was a loop. So the climbing comes in about half of that, even probably less than half of that. So steep climbing, technical descending, and not really that technical climbing. Lots of switchbacks, lots of routes and stuff, but it wasn't too bad there. And yeah, so I knew that it started on a dirt road. And I knew that it was going to be really hard, or it should be really hard, because after that, it narrows into single track and you could get stuck behind people. So for the first 18 minutes, and right now my FTP is about 295-ish, 290. And, or 295, I would say, and maybe down here at elevation, actually it's probably, or lower elevation. It's actually probably around 300. So I did 308 watts for the first 18 minutes of the climb. And, that allowed me to kind of be like just off the front group, but also ahead of the masses. So it was kind of a no man's land. And then after that, once we got into the climb, I just kept trying to like manage my effort and stay below any situation that would be like, whoa, I'm about to blow up. And yeah, it like worked out surprisingly well. It was super cool. It was a blast.
Yeah. In that trying not to blow up pace, like, are you thinking just about today, or you mean like in the full scope of the 6 days?
Yeah. 6 days, like every single pedal stroke. Like I was out there trying to dodge every little root and rock when in the climb, like to make it smoother. And in my mind, I was like, if any of you have ever played Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, and you get rings, like, in my mind, I'm like getting rings. Every one of those I miss for the whole stage race. Because if I can miss them the whole race, if I can miss, like, and I'm not saying miss every route, you hit routes. But if there's an opportunity to miss one, I might as well, because that saves a little bit of energy. And like thinking ahead to stage six, that sort of stuff matters. So that's what I learned in Cape Epic, that like the little things actually matter. So yeah, it was pretty cool and pretty fun to do. So,
Jonathan, big math brain. Working overtime.
Yeah. I didn't crash and have my rings explode everywhere. So that's good.
Cool. And then, yeah, so the climbing wasn't super technical, but does that mean you had to, with hydration and like nutrition, how did you have to just like front load on all of the climbs and then just not hydrate on the descents? Like, how did you plan that?
Yeah, you definitely can't drink on the descents. It's either super steep up or super steep down, and it requires like perfect technique, all your focus to like hit your lines, because it's pretty high consequence in a lot of spots. Or I'd say high consequence, like you just like hit a tree, or you know, go off the trail or something like that. So, a hydration pack is like, for me at least, is so key, because then I don't have to worry about reaching down and drinking bottles. I still had one bottle, but I did the race faster than I thought I would have. So I carried a little extra. I was carrying enough for 2.5 to 3 hours, but I did it in 2 hours and 17 minutes. So I had some extra liquid thereafter, but I just had super dense carbs, 100 grams of carbs per 500 milliliters in my pack and in my bottles. So that's like a normal size cycling bottle. It's 100 grams of carbs in there. And that's basically what I was taking in. So yeah, hydration pack was amazing, because I could just sip on that in the middle of a climb, or even on some descents before I'd drop in, I'd put it in my mouth and then I'd be like sipping as I'm going down, just every once in a while. And I think that I ended up doing somewhere around like 95 grams of carbs. If you were to kind of just, this is very not scientific. This is me just looking at how much was left at the bottom of my, you know, so yeah, it worked out. So
cool.
Yeah. And that's technical. Can't take your eye off the trail.
Yeah. And, that was good enough for ninth. Are you stoked on that?
Super shocked. I didn't think that I was going to be top 10. I thought that I was going to be like 20th or something. I think last time I did this after the first stage, I was like 36th or something. And Nate joked around and said I was top 36. So, so yeah, ninth is a big surprise. But for me, it's not about the placement. Like, I just want to have solid days where I'm riding within myself and not blowing myself up. And the funny thing is, that means that, like, I was getting passed all the time, like in sections where, like, people were just going way hard earlier on. I knew that last climb was coming up and I knew it was going to be really hard. Hyperventilation, it's called. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to sit back. I'm going to, like, instead of pushing up all these climbs and climbing at, you know, 350 watts and above, I'm going to ride when I can at like 270 watts. And then it'll force me above that. It's steep sections, but I'm going to ride at 270 when I can. And that just made like all like a huge difference, because toward the end of that super long climb, hyperventilation is so steep and just constant switchbacks and they're technical. And I was catching people, and it's kind of funny. I'd be like, you know, when you go, when you're blown and you have a climb that's surging with steep hits, and then it kind of flattens out, steep hits, flattens out. When you're completely wrecked, you do not grab gears. When it flattens out, you coast, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I was grabbing a few gears and then just cruising along on every one of those. And so I really started to catch everybody that passed me, and then ended up passing them either on the climb or on the descent. And this descent was like real. It was steep. and on the Aspens, they're good for me, but man, like, everyone that was up in the front, they were like, "You're riding Aspens?" And I was like, "I mean, yeah, I like them." And they're like, you're dumb. You know, like, this course is not made for Aspens, but it worked out well. It might be kind of gnarly on some steeper loose stuff, but for me, it still works well. They're really predictable. But I got to the bottom of that super steep descent where they have like the enduro time segment thing. Paced my way through it, tried not to like make any dumb choices, stayed on two wheels. And then after that, I knew it was going to roll to the finish line. So at that point, I just kind of like kept I had so much left because I didn't blow myself up early. And I was able to just carry good pace through there. And kind of like a small thing that I noticed is coming into, if you see a steep little punch, it just makes sense. And you're not sprinting, but it makes sense to just like stay on the gas at like thresholdish power and threshold of VO2. And you just kind of like carry just a bit more momentum into those turns and then shift down, 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 down. And it makes it so that those little punches take way less out of you. And I was just catching people really quickly there. This is awesome.
I feel like that's really a mark of pacing effectively when you are doing that and able to grab gears and not just do like these little punches and then have to chill. And it feels so weird to feel like you're never really going really hard in a race. Yeah. It's such a weird feeling.
I think it's where I want to be though, right? Like for the 6-day race that's technical and could put me on my head. So it feels right, even though it feels weird.
You know? And I feel like while you're surprised at your top 10, I'm not. And I'm totally going to dox you for texting me that you took a wrong turn and lost like 10 positions at a bad time. So I feel like if you, you know, mitigate that kind of stuff, you know, you can keep potentially moving up in standings. Like, what happened there?
Yeah, like it was really fun, flowy descent. And there was this cool section where like you rode over a bridge and then there was a berm that went downhill. It was like a roller coaster. The berm went downhill and it was, I guess, a 360 degree turn. So like you started up high, went over a bridge that started to go downhill and into a berm. You did the curly Q underneath the bridge and popped out. And I was just ripping and having fun. There's another rider in front of me that was an incredible descender, and he was having fun. And we came out, and there's this rad jump. So we sent the jump through our little whips. And then after that, we landed, and it was like, wrong way. And we're like, shoot. And we're like,
oh, no.
Super steep little thing. We had to turn around and run back. And by that time, everyone had accordioned because we had some people in front of us. So lost a lot of spots. But honestly, you know, in terms of time, it probably lost me like 45 seconds to a minute or something. It's not a big deal. So
worth it for the whips.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It was good vibes. It was good. That's the other thing. Like, there's so many good descenders at this race, and just good riders, period. But they're like really good descenders. I think it attracts like really good mountain bikers. It's cool.
Nice. That's great. How are the Aspens doing on those bridges, by the way?
Oh my gosh. On my pre-ride, I like saw some wood. There were a lot of the wood features and I was riding it. I'm like, all right, I approached it with caution and it was fine. And then I rode this bridge that I thought was fine. And I instantly is just like wheels gone. And I was sliding sideways and I was going to just like slam my hip and my shoulder, but the dirt came up and I hit the dirt and it caught me, but then it blew my feet off the pedals. And then it also almost blew my arm off the, like my hand off the grip. And I was just like all over the place. I have like bloody marks on my shin from my pedal. I took a shinner really hard. Ooh. And it was terrifying. I forgot how scary wood bridges are. And here, for some reason, there's zero chicken wire. There's no even hash marks like into the wood. They just leave the sure. wood as is. And it is. So that was pretty scary. Everyone like was going through after the first time, like some guy crashed on one really hard. And then after that, everybody was just upright on the bridges, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yikes. Okay.
Yeah, it was
good. Well, man. All right. I think that's about it for today. I guess we want to talk about like camping difficulties and nutrition difficulties, yeah. but I think those will make themselves more known, like stages three, four.
I've got a good system. My friend Tony let me borrow his van, as you can see, the wonderful backdrop of like switches and stuff. But
it looks like NASA or something. It's awesome.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but it's great. And so far, everything is good. So tomorrow's stage, should we just like preview it really quick, Ivy? I can give you.
Yeah, let's
like
do it.
So tomorrow's stage is, instead of a loop, it's a point to point. We ride to the town of Sparwood. It's 29.2 miles, which Ivy, maybe you can look up what that is in kilometers. And then it's more climbing. It's 4,372 feet of climbing. But the thing about it, and it looks like a buzzsaw profile, but if you think about it, like it's not a loop and we end up higher in elevation than where we currently are. So I think it'll actually feel like less climbing, strangely, because it's not like a loop where you go up, then you have to go back down. Instead, we end up higher. So it's kind of a point to point. And I think it's going to be just like constant rollers. And toward the end, there's a few big climbs. It starts out with a big climb. And then, yeah, toward the end, there's some significant big climbs. So I think it's just going to be more of the same, like staying within myself and not.
Cool. Not blowing out. It's like 46K. And you said like 4,500 feet of climbing?
Yeah, 4,300 feet. Just 44, right around there.
So like 1,300-ish meters of climbing. Cool. So that like sawtooth profile, looking at today's stage, there were a few bigger climbs. And your normalized power was something like, looking at your file here, like 290 for the ride?
261 for the race.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, if it was 290, I'd be fast.
I need glasses. do you think that like do you think the sawtooth profile will potentially like change your power output throughout the day then?
Yeah, there's less descending though, so it might actually be like a higher average, because my average power actually was only 213. Just because of the big descents. So I expect a higher average, but slightly lower normalized probably tomorrow.
Cool. Maybe. Well, looking forward to. Yeah. Looking forward to hearing about it. Rest up, eat rice, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, John. Good job. Congrats.
Thanks, Ivy. See you tomorrow.